Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We're going to use the same passage that we used this morning. Maybe you have that memorized, but it will fit our needs tonight as well. And so let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and His holy word. The book of Proverbs is filled with child training tools. It's a book. What am I thinking of? What do you get with your car if you get a instruction manual? Thank you, instruction manual. It's a great instruction manual for raising kids, and it is the truth. It fits every size, and it works. Train up a child, and notice we could do a good word study perhaps on this word train. It's something in order to train a dog or to train a horse or whatever, you have to work with them. You have to go through that same procedure over and over and over. Especially, I've noticed with working with dogs, border collies, if you do the same thing over and over and over, they catch on if you do it over and over and over. I've got one that's especially hard-headed right at this time, and but he will go get in the pen. But that took a lot of work. And now I've noticed that if I holler "good boy" to start with, man, he'll head for that pen. "Good boy, good job, man." Just wagging that tail like, man, he's done something, and he'll run in that pen. Well, you know that same thing. Kids need an attaboy too. They need that also. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but go to Ephesians 6 and verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So, you may be seated. We left off this morning with Proverbs 13, and so I want us to move back to that verse of where we stopped at. Proverbs 13, look at verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." So it describes two types of parents here. One loves himself. Did you catch it? One loves himself. The other loves the child. So you and I need to ask ourselves, which kind are we? Parents, grandparents, we love ourselves. And this, I mentioned this morning, but I want to say it again. It means early. This B times is early. Do it early. Do that training early. Start early. If you wait, it's next to impossible. Including Arabella, she was the 16th child that we've had in our home in the last year. And almost without exception, none of those children had any training. They were not trained up in the ways of the Lord. Everything was new. Everything was such a different world for them than what they had experienced. And it's the same way with Noah. He's it's a different world for him, what he's experiencing now, than what he has experienced in the past. The Message Bible puts it this way: a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Look over with me at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and look at verse 6. Because this is how the Lord deals with us. This is how our Heavenly Father deals with us. And if you're comparing love, when you're thinking about love, can you think? The Bible says that God is love. And he that loves not does not know God. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's, the definition of God is love, and you can't think of God without thinking of love. Well, there is children in our society today that know nothing of the love of a parent. I've been listening to a little bit of news. It's pretty depressing to try to watch very much of it. But I've been hearing these high numbers of children that are raised without a father image in the home, being raised by their mother. Now, I'd say that them moms are doing the best that they can in many cases. But so a lot of times an individual doesn't, when you're talking about a loving father, the loving Heavenly Father, they don't know what you're talking about, because all they've seen is some kind of evil father rather than a loving father. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So he works with us the same way that he has instructed us to work with our children and with our grandchildren. So I want us to look, secondly, at the proper balance of correction. And here again, I think that I've made some real bad mistakes in child rearing, and I continue to do that. Abuse is unfair, extreme, degrading. Abusive actions are unduly harsh. Now, I'm getting this information from another source. Unnecessarily long and totally inappropriate. So we can gauge, when we put out the discipline, we can gauge it by that. Is it harsh? Is it unduly wrong? There needs to be a finish point here. That's the reason that I think a spanking is so much better than anything else. You give a spanking, it's over with. Then you can make up and life can go on. You get a fresh start. Everything can head out from that point. But it's not the answer to every problem. It's not the answer for every child. It has to be treated differently. If we drag our children's feelings through the mud and kick them when they're down, then we're being abusive. The result: a soiled self-esteem, scars that often last a lifetime, actions that are not disciplined, they're abuse. And abuse doesn't grow out of love. It stems from hate. Discipline is fair, fitting, upholds the child's dignity. I don't know how much dignity there is in bend over, you're getting ready to get it. But it still does that. Discipline is built on a foundation of justice. Loving discipline isn't capricious or arbitrary. So the child should have a good idea of the punishment that will be metered out if the penalty boundaries are willfully and definitely violated. This form of correction strengthens rather than shatters the child's self-worth. Discipline is rooted in proper motivation, love, and genuine concern, not in anger or expedience. I've made a lot of mistakes along that line. I think I've spanked my children in anger because I was mad because I was having to discipline. Not so much mad at them, but mad because I despised it. I despised having to deal out discipline. I hated giving spankings. Crushing versus shaping. Wrong discipline or abuse crushes the will of the child. On the other hand, loving discipline shapes his will. Back in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, look at verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Get over to chapter 17 and look at verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So we ought to be about the business of in our discipline. And I think that it's in order for us to talk to our children about our grown children about how they discipline. I think it's in order. Here is something, and I was trying to give credit here. I think it comes from James Dobson, but I'm not 100% sure here. In their early years, every child needs a space in which to learn, make mistakes, and develop. As a parent, you must learn to distinguish between childish irresponsibility and willfully disobedient behavior. And we saw some willful disobedient behavior this morning. And obviously, there had not been any correction given early on. Now, I know that there are some situations where there's some mental situations where children would go into some kind of tantrum that maybe there something wasn't right up here some way. But all those actions that we saw on the news the last few weeks from those folks that were rioting and screaming in the face of the police and doing those things, I mean, they had some screws loose, but I would almost bet money that you could go back to every one of their raisings and they were given no discipline when that time occurred. Be gentle as you teach him to do better. And that's hard to do. Gentle's not my middle name. And I wish it were. I wish that I had that tendency to be gentle. Here's some suggestions. Let's see, where'd I get to? Be gentle as you teach him to do better. If he fails to respond to your patient instruction, it then becomes appropriate to administer some well-defined consequences. He may have to work to pay for the item he abused or be deprived of its use. However, childish irresponsibility is very different from willful defiance and should be handled more patiently. So here's some questions and I believe it was James Dobson that did this. So he gives us a little test here, which is willful disobedience. Which is childish irresponsibility and which is defiance? Leaving the milk out on the kitchen counter and letting it spoil, is that defiance? That's just irresponsibility. We just have to work on that. Now, my first reaction would be, are you crazy? I mean, it would be to scream and holler at what had taken place. But that would not be the best. One of the things that we discovered in keeping foster kids was one of the kids we had finished breakfast, and he was carrying his bowl to the sink. And he dropped it. It hit the floor and broke all to pieces. He had a terrified look on his face. I mean, it was almost scary, the look that this child had on his face. And almost like we had practiced it. And I tell you, we don't respond good every time. But Gwen and I both started saying, "It's okay, it's fine. It's all right, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's just a broken dish. It's all right, we'll clean it up." And you saw immediate change in the kid's countenance. But there are some things that are just irresponsibility. Repeatedly demanding food for dinner other than what is being served. Is that defiance? It's defiance, isn't it? Getting a detention for getting to bring a book to class. Is that defiance or irresponsibility? Irresponsibility. I think we need to address irresponsibility, but we need to treat it differently, very differently. And I think that here we started out by talking about training a child, and so they catch on to that. Getting a detention for smarting off to the teacher. That is defiance, and it should be treated like defiance. In Proverbs 29, it talks about the rod of reproof. And so let's just talk about that a little bit. Look down at verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Did you see that? The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Spanking versus speaking. The rod is a spanking. Reproof is speaking. A child left to himself, and that literally means left in the condition he was born in. We can't do it. We just cannot do it. And there's folks trying to raise their kids and leave them in the same position they were born in. Start early, the Bible says. In Proverbs 13:24, when it talks about to be diligent, that is translated early. Diligence is early. So we start early when we start our discipline. I wish somebody would swallow that fly so I wouldn't have it to deal with, and I'm afraid it's going to be me. Look at Proverbs 19. And look at verse 18. See, Proverbs is filled with this. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Did you know that was in the Bible? Now notice the first part of that. While there is hope. While there is hope. And it appears to me that what that verse means is that there comes a time when there is not hope. We wait too long. We start too late. And thousands upon thousands of children in our society, their parents have waited too late, and maybe they don't even plan on doing anything. The My suggestion for the police is try to find the parents of those folks that were causing all the trouble and go arrest them. Because the responsibility goes back to those folks. They did a terrible job raising their kids. Proverbs 22:15. Did I read that already? 22 and verse 15. And it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. James Dobson did say this for sure. The child needs to associate wrongdoing with pain. If your child has ever bumped his arm against a hot stove, you can bet he'll never deliberately do that again. He does not become a more violent person because the stove burned him. In fact, he learned a valuable lesson from the pain. Similarly, when he falls out of his high chair or smashes his finger in the door or is bitten by a grumpy dog, he learns about physical danger in the world. These bumps and bruises throughout childhood are nature's way of teaching what to fear. They do not damage self-esteem. They do not make vicious people. They acquaint the individual with reality. In like manner, an appropriate spanking from a loving parent provides the same service. It says there are not only physical dangers to be avoided, but one must steer clear of such social traps of selfishness, defiance, dishonesty, and unprovoked aggression. We're learning by watching Arabella how quickly she learns about bumps and bruises. And there was maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago when she would pull herself up on something, she'd have a tendency just to turn loose, and there is no telling what she would do when, I mean, she'd flop on the floor or bump her head on something. But now, if you watch her, when she gets ready to get down, she is very cautious. She squats down and holds on until she gets to the floor. She's learned that quickly what she can do and what she can't do. And so a child learns from pain. It learns from discipline in their lives. And in our lives, we learn the same thing. Proverbs 3. Just turn back a few pages. Proverbs 3, look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary in his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Did you catch that? The son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 29:15 shows verbal reproof and balance. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Reproof does not indicate a tongue lashing that leaves the character of the child bleeding. And I think that, boy, I have to guard against that so much. It's so easy for me to give a tongue lashing rather than to give the right kind of instruction. Be consistent. Make sure the rules are known beforehand. Discipline privately. Explain the violation and its consequences. Administer the rod soundly. Tenderly hold your child after the spanking and assure your child of your love and concern. Now, I had asked Jeannie if she would make sure that we had some a service for the kids tonight outside of this service, because I wanted our parents and our grandparents to be able to concentrate as we talked about those things. Make sure that the correction matches the misbehavior. Never spank your child in public. or in front of the family. Do it privately. Now, we made lots of mistakes when we raised our kids, but this is one rule that we laid out and we stayed with it. We always did discipline privately. I think that that's still the way that it should be. Now, sometimes we get, we're in Walmart, and there's some kind of spell going on, and I'm thinking, you need to go ahead and take care of that. It's all right, go ahead. Give that child two or three quick licks and get it over with. Never slap your child in the face. When Noah came to us, he had one side of his face was bruised all over, under his eye and all the way down his chin and into his throat where he'd been slapped. Never, ever do that. A slap humiliates. It degrades. It could leave an emotional scar on the child that can carry the rest of its life. Now, here's something that we sure would have to work on, and I've not done a very good job on this. Never use your hand to spank your child. Now, there's been a time or two that I've grabbed up those grandkids and swatted their tail with my hand. I wanted it to be quick and over with, I guess. But James Dobson for sure suggests that we should not do that. They should be able to associate the pain with a paddle, not with your hand. And here he suggests a ping pong paddle. Now, I was going to suggest a baseball bat. No, I wasn't either. And he says also that an age-appropriate a belt for older children is okay, boys. Always affirm the worth of your child to you, what they mean to you. My grandsons have never gotten too old to come and hug their grandpa big time. Hug me up tight. And I was with one of my grandsons this weekend that's getting ready to be a daddy for the first time. And when we came together, we hugged, and he just hugged me up tight to him, and I was able to whisper in his ear and say, "Son, I sure am proud of you." And that is an opportunity for us as grandparents and for parents to show to our children their worth to us. I've tried, as we have talked to our foster children that have been in our home, that discipline was because we loved them and we wanted what was best in their life, and to try to explain that to them. And then finally, I'll finish up with this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, Proverbs 22:15 says. And this word foolishness is to be perverse, silly, folly is connected with that word foolishness. And it becomes our job to keep that from happening in the heart of a child. You know, there's a few things that fun loving and having a good time is okay. I mean, and it's fine to be spontaneous and to do things. I was riding Noah and Andrew on the four wheeler when they were a little bit younger, and Noah was on the back, Andrew was in front of me. And we was going out across the field, and Andrew said, "Gas it, Papa, gas it." And boy, I shoved down on the, and it took off like that, and whoo, Noah went off the back end. Scared me to death. And he was up, right up, and he was saying, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." You know, I don't think that hurts. I don't think that's a... Now, if I'd have broke his neck, it would have hurt. It'd have been bad. But I think that it's okay for us to have fun with our kids. To do things. That might have been a real bad illustration. I don't know. Four-wheelers and kids don't always go together. But I was the one that was driving. And I've noticed that Noah really likes that speed also. Let's finish up in the book of Psalms, Psalms, Proverbs. So let's turn back to Psalms 51. Let's see. And look at verse 5. Now this is proof that there's not some good kids and bad kids. It's the raising that makes the difference. It's the things that happen in their life that make so much difference. Now, some of them may need things different, and they will need things different because their personality is different. They're created different. But look at what verse 5 says. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I'm telling you that a child, and we read that earlier this morning, that a child is when they're born, they get a sin nature. I mean, they have a sin nature. I can remember telling someone that when Madison was born, and we lived here when that took place, and someone was asking about how Madison was doing, and I said, "Well, his sin nature's kicking in." But we have we've made lots of mistakes, and we've done a few things right, perhaps. But I believe that if you'll stay with the Scripture, it will teach you right. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." That ought to convince us that we need to start early and start training early. Gwen and I have been talking about this message quite a lot today and some of the mistakes that we've made, and we've made plenty of them. But there, you cannot go back and change the mistakes that you've made in the past. And I can't go back and change any of those mistakes that I've made in the past. But I can start from here out and do what the Bible has said to do in order to be right, in order to do what is right. If you correct your child, correct your grandchildren, I believe you're doing the right thing. And you know, it's appropriate when your children are there, they need to be the ones that are responsible. I don't think you can correct them when their parents are there. But when they are with you, when your grandparents or when your grandchildren are with you or great-grandchildren are with you, I think that gives you the responsibility to correct them whenever they do wrong. Austin and Aaron spent the weekend with us when we lived here. And they brought their bicycles and they rode all over the place here on the church ground and had a big time. And it got toward dark, and Gwen took them in and gave them a bath, put clean clothes on them, and I said, guys, there was a big mud puddle out in front of the parsonage, and I said, do not ride your bicycles in that mud puddle. They'd been doing that, and I said, don't do that. You're cleaned up. Granny's give you a bath. You've got clean clothes on. Do not ride in that mud puddle. And I said, you got plenty of room out here to do anything that you want to, but don't do that. And Gwen was in the house. I went in. The office was in a little brown house at that time. And there was a window in front. And I went in the office and looked out the window, and they were running back and forth in that mud puddle with the bicycles. And I did it privately because there was nobody else on the church grounds. I pulled my belt off and I spanked them to the house. And told them not to come back out. And they told on me. They told their mother on me. And Lana was telling me about it. And she said, the boys told on you for spanking them. And I said, well, that's okay. She said, I got to tell you what they said. She said, they told me you spanked them. And I said, was it pretty bad? And Austin said, it wasn't bad. And Aaron said, well, it was real bad on me. He said, it hurt real bad. He said, I'm just 4 years old. But you know what? I never had to give another one. They believed what I said was the way it was going to go. And whatever we were doing, if after they got bigger, if whatever we were doing on the farm, what I said was the way that it went. And I think that we could take it back to that little spanking. It might have been a big spanking as far as Aaron was concerned. But that spanking I gave them for doing what was wrong. And so I don't regret that in the least. Matter of fact, those boys love me. They give their life for me. And I think that it's what the Bible teaches. And I wish that the Department of Human Services would change their mind about the type of correction that a foster child needs. I understand that there's too many people out there that you can't trust. I understand that. But so you have to think of something else. Let's stand together. Brother Tim, will you dismiss us with a word of prayer?